On behalf of PPL Electric Utilities Corporation, I'd like to welcome everyone to the bidder presentation related to PPL Electric's TOU RFP. My name is Benjamin Chi. I'm with NERA Economic Consulting as the RFP manager. And presenting with me today is Ms. Julie Reventis, also with NERA. We'll start off on slide 2 with a disclaimer. The TOU RFP is a process that has been approved by the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission, and the governing documents include the TOU RFP rules as well as the TOU RFP SMA and the governing commission order dated May 17, 2018 related to the TOU program under docket number M-2016-2570851. Any statements that we make on this presentation that describe or refer to documents and agreements, they are all summaries and are summaries only. And they are qualified in their entirety by a reference to such documents and agreements. You can find the documents and agreements all on the RFP website. RFP website is provided here on slide 2 at the bottom, and it is ppldsp.com. If you go to the RFP website, ppldsp.com, you should be able to hover on the left navigation bar to the time of use section. And under that, you will find a documents link to lead you to the governing documents. For today's agenda, we will talk about the scope of this presentation. We'll cover an overview of the TOU RFP process and requirements. We will then delve deeper into the specific product design elements and terms of the supply master agreement, as well as the practical aspects related to the qualification and bidding process and requirements. We will then close out this presentation with a discussion on the TOU RFP website. So over on to slide 5, for purposes of today's presentation, please take note that the TOU RFP is a multi-solicitation process that covers 4 solicitations planned between May 2019 through November 2020. This is a biannual process. There will be one solicitation in May and another in November each year. And in the TOU RFP, we're looking for load following full requirements products. Over on to slide 6. This presentation covers elements that are common across all 4 solicitations under the TOU RFP. There's going to be a separate webcast or presentation that will be specific to each solicitation, and this typically is provided at the start of each solicitation. To get to the presentations, you just need to go to the RFP website, ppldsp.com. On the left navigation bar, click on Time of Use RFP. Within that, there should be a Documents link. On the Documents page, you'll find this presentation and the company solicitation-specific presentation as well. Over on to slide 7, NERA is retained as the RFP manager to be the point of contact for RFP bidders under this process. We're here to ensure that the TOU process and rules as approved by the PUC, they are followed, and that your qualification as well as your bids are evaluated equitably and fairly, and that NERA will be able to determine and select the winning bid and present the results to the PUC. Over on to slide 9, we'll start here and provide you an overview of the TOU RFP process. So a TOU customer is generally described as a retail customer that is taking PPL Electric's retail service under the TOU program. So this requires affirmative customer election and customer enrollment opened on June 1st, 2019. There is no automatic enrollment into the program the customer must affirmatively elect to take TOU service. The other thing to note is that bids for each solicitation will be solicited and procured for each of the residential group and the small commercial and industrial or small C&I customer groups separately. A customer that elected to take TOU service may switch to take service from an EGS, or they may return to take fixed price default service. So again, this is a load following full requirement service, so you need to account for customer migration. In terms of the contingency plan, PPL Electric has an obligation to obtain TOU supply for its customers. If the TOU RFP is not successful or if a existing TOU supplier defaults, then the TOU load itself for these customer groups will be included in the default service load served by default service suppliers under the terms of the default service SMA. And to be clear, as said earlier, we're looking at two different products, one product for the residential group and one product for the small C&I customer group. So in terms of the contingency plan, these two groups are looked at separately. So over onto slide 10, this is a continuation of what I have just said. There are two separate groups under the TOU RFP. The first group is known as the residential customer group that comprises all residential customers. The second is the small C&I customer group comprising of customers that are non-residential customers with an annual peak demand of less than 100 kW. You can look at Section 1.13 of the TOU RFP rules for a full description of the rate schedules within each customer group that are eligible. But at a high level, I want to flag for you that the large C&I customers, on-track customers in the residential group, lighting customers, and unmetered customers in the GS1 rate class within the small C&I customer groups, these are all customers that are not eligible to elect or take TOU under the PPL tariffs. Over on to slide 11, for each customer group in each solicitation, we're looking for a delivery term of 6 months. We're offering one tranche in each product, one tranche for the residential group and one tranche for the small C&I customer group. The products in each solicitation that we are going out for, they're all for a 6 month term, and they will be representing 100% of the load of TOU customers within the customer group. So the delivery term for the products featured in the May solicitation will be from June 1st to November 30th, and the delivery term for the solicitations that will occur in November of each year will be for the period starting December 1st to May 31st. On page 12, here is the RFP process in a nutshell. So in each of the four solicitations, there's going to be these three common steps. The first step is for you to provide us your bidder qualifications. This is due by noon on the bidder qualifications due date. This process is online. You'll submit your bidder qualifications materials to an online form, and you can get access to the form by submitting a request online to us. The second step is for you to provide your bid assurance collateral and your signed contracts to us. This is due by noon on the bid assurance collateral and SMA due date. And here, all we're asking is for you to provide financial guarantees. And if you're not a previously one bidder or someone that has been awarded tranches under the TOU RFP, you'll be also required to provide signed contracts to us. And then we have a last step, which is for you to provide your actual bids to us or your bid proposals within the window of 10 a.m. and 12 noon on the bid proposal due date. You can find specific dates in an addendum that is released with each solicitation. But here, we're providing the general steps for you so that you can take note of them that are common across all solicitations. Over onto slide 13, we have the post-bid process. Here, the RFP manager will evaluate the bids on the bid proposal due date. Within one business day, we will provide a report to the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission. And from that point on, the commission will have one business day to review and approve or reject the results of the TOU RFP. To be clear, there are two things we'll want to flag for you. The first, and I'll repeat this later as well, is that for each customer group, if there are less than two bidders, then the results are deemed rejected by the PUC. And secondly, the PUC could accept or reject the results separately for each of the customer groups. Starting on slide 14 and to slide 15, we'll talk about the product that we are after, and these are all terms and conditions or requirements that can be found in the TOU SMA. So the TOU product itself is a full requirements load following service. They mean two different things. And TOU suppliers will serve 100% of the load of the customers in that customer group that takes TOU service. So when we say the service is a full requirement service, what we mean here is that it will include energy, capacity, ancillary services, certain transmission services, as well as renewable obligations. So when we say it includes certain transmission services, what we mean more precisely is that it will exclude certain non-market-based transmission services. So these are items that are in the SMA itself, and it will exclude specifically the NITS, Network Integration Transmission Service, Transmission Enhancement Costs, Expansion Cost Recovery Charges, Non-Firm Point-to-Point Transmission Service Credits, RTEP, as well as Generation Deactivation Charges. You will also be provided ARRs, Auction Revenue Rights from PJM, as you are awarded the tranches and to serve the load for a particular customer group. And the APS obligations or renewable obligations can be found in the updated Exhibit 2 that is issued each solicitation under the TOU SMA. The delivery point for this service is the PPL residual aggregate load zone. And when we say the service is load following, again, we're not looking for a megawatt measure for you to serve. We are looking for you to follow the load of TOU customers within a customer group during the supply period. As a supplier of a customer group, you will supply 100% of the TOU load. And customers are free to switch in and out of TOU program by affirmative election or with appropriate notice to PPL Electric, so you are responsible for any changes in demand and migration as well. Over on to slide 16. So as I have just mentioned, this is a full requirements load following service. Slide 16 talks about how you're going to get paid. So payment to TOU supplier basically will be a off-peak price for supply during off-peak hours and an on-peak price for supply during the on-peak hours. So there's going to be a different definition for on-peak hours and off-peak hours during the summer term and the winter term. So the summer period runs from June through November, and on-peak is defined to be 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Prevailing Time, and it excludes weekends and PJM holidays. Off-peak hours are all other hours that are not deemed to be on-peak hours. During the winter period between December and May, the on-peak hours are between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Prevailing Time, excluding weekends and PJM holidays, and off-peak hours are all other hours. The off-peak price basically will reflect the generation portion of the price to compare times 1 minus the percent discount that you're bidding on for the TOU load in a customer group. And the on-peak price will simply be the multiplicative product of the TOU off-peak price times a seasonal multiplier. The seasonal multiplier is described more fully in section 1.1.11 of the RFP rules, and is basically a rolling five-year historical PJM day-ahead LMP for the residual aggregate load zone. Moving on to slide 17, the SMA is a standard contract that is non-negotiable, has been approved for use for the RFP, and it is between the TOU supplier and TPL Electric. Before you submit your bids, you'll be required to provide us your scan executed TOU SMA, and if you have won tranches in the past, and you have a fully executed TOU SMA, going forward, you just need to execute a transaction confirmation under the TOU SMA. The transaction confirm will include specific information about the delivery term, about the product, about the customer group, the price, and specific information about the solicitation in which the product you have won. For the credit requirements, this is simply a flat $75,000 for each transaction. Transaction will be separate for the residential customer group and the small C&I customer group. How this works is that PPL Electric will grant to you a unsecured credit line based on the credit worthiness of the credit provider, either you, the bidder, or your guarantor, and this will depend on the credit provider's tangible net worth and credit rating. Any exposure beyond this unsecured credit will be met with either cash or a performance assurance letter of credit. Exposure under this contract again is simply $75,000 for one tranche, or $75,000 times two for two products if you're also winning for the residential and the small C&I customer group. You can provide a single guarantee to cover exposure under this SMA, as well as the default service SMA or other SMAs that have been executed between the seller or the bidder and PPL Electric. You can find the standard forms of the standard guarantee and the performance assurance LOC as exhibits to the contract. And moving on to slide 19 on the qualification process, I will now turn the time to Julie Preventis. Julie?
Thank you, Ben. Now I will go over the TOU RFP qualification process starting on slide 20. The bidder qualification process is completed online, and it is a process through which bidders provide required information, upload supporting documents, and upload scan dependencies with signatures that will be needed for their continued participation in the TOU RFP. To participate in the TOU RFP, you must first request an account in order to receive login credentials and instructions for completing and submitting the online qualification form. Additionally, previously qualified bidders for a default service or TOU solicitation can qualify again through an abbreviated process. In order to request an account, please go to the RFP website at ppldsp.com and click on the qualification form on the left side of the page. You will then need to choose between two options. You can either log in using your account information if you already have an account, or you can request an account by clicking Get Account here. If you request an account, the following page will ask you for additional information, including your company name, contact name, phone number, and email. Soon after you request an account, the contact you have provided will receive the username and password required to log into the qualification form, and an addendum 2 to the RFP rules, which includes the instructions required for completing the online qualification form and additional deadline information for the current solicitation. Once you start filling out the online qualification form, it will ask for several signed documents, all of which you can find in the documents page under the time of use RFP section of the procurement website. These are shown on slide 22 of the presentation. You should download the applicable appendices from this page in order to complete the qualification form. As Ben mentioned previously, this presentation contains information that is common to all four solicitations under the TOU RFP. I will now talk about the deadlines that participants must keep in mind in order to participate in a TOU RFP. However, do keep in mind that these are general deadlines and that prior to the start of each TOU RFP solicitation, we will provide the specific dates that are applicable to such solicitation. So the first step is the TOU qualification form, and it is due at 12 p.m. noon EPT on the bidder qualification due date. No late submissions will be accepted. And slide 23 of the presentation shows the information that is required as part of the TOU qualification form. First, an expression of interest, confidentiality agreement, the PJM, and FERC qualifications, the credit application and financial information, and the binding bid agreement. Other information can be submitted on an optional basis as part of the TOU qualification form. This includes the designation of additional representatives. So the bidder is allowed to nominate up to 3 additional representatives, and such representatives of the bidder will be included in all communications related to the TOU RFP and will be used as bidder contacts. Additionally, bidders are allowed to, on an optional basis, submit their draft bid assurance letter of credit that includes the bidder's proposed modifications to the bid assurance letter of credit, as well as the proposed modifications to performance assurance letter of credit and the guarantee. The RFP manager will provide a review of the proposed modifications to these documents. We do recommend that you review the acceptable modifications to these documents, which are posted in the documents page under the time of use RFP in the section in the RFP website, as such modifications have already been acceptable and do not require additional review. On slide 24, we go into detail regarding the different sections of the online qualification form. As mentioned earlier, the documents required to complete these sections are listed as appendices in the documents page under the time of use RFP section in the RFP website. Please keep in mind that an officer of the RFP bidder is an individual empowered to undertake contracts and bind the RFP bidder, and unless otherwise stated, all representations in this RFP must be made by an officer of the RFP bidder. So the first section is the expression of interest. In general, it asks for basic contact information of the RFP bidder and the representative, and it allows the RFP bidder to designate additional representatives on an optional basis. Section 2 requires bidders to complete a confidentiality agreement. The purpose of this section is to protect the information that is confidential, proprietary, or generally not available to the public. Such confidentiality agreement is executed by the RFP bidder and PPL Electric, and its purpose is to protect both. Section 3 is where the bidder provides the PJM qualification and FERC authorization certification. The PJM qualification certification certifies that the RFP bidder is qualified as a market buyer and seller. It also qualifies the RFP bidders ability to secure generation or otherwise obtain and deliver electricity in PJM through compliance with applicable PJM requirements. The FERC authorization certification certifies that the RFP bidder is authorized to sell energy capacity and ancillary services at market-based rates. Section four of the qualification form is a credit application, and the applicant is required to state whether it will depend financially on the RFP bidder or a guarantor. Then the applicant is required to provide information including a credit contact, the bid reference information, and financial documents, such as the most recent 10Q or 10K financial documents. The RFP bidder must also provide information on credit ratings and supporting documentation for the entity on which it is relying on financially. The qualification form also requires a credit authorization in the form of Appendix 6, which must be signed by the guarantor if the RFP bidder is relying on the creditworthiness of a guarantor. The RFP bidder may indicate that it is not requesting unsecured credit under the TOU SMA. And additionally, if the RFP bidder is relying on a foreign guarantor, the RFP bidder may provide draft documents required under the TOU SMA for review in the TOU RFP process. Moving on to slide 26, we have section 5, the bidder, and the bidder must submit the binding bid agreement, which means that the bid proposals constitute firm offers to supply. By providing a completed binding bid agreement, the RFP bidder certifies the following. First, that it is bound by the price quotes based on the bids submitted in the bid proposals, and it is bidding independently and has no knowledge of others' bids, and it will not disclose information related to the TOU RFP process or to the bidder's proposal prior to the PUC decision. Finally, Section 6, which is the justification of omissions, allows the RFP bidder to explain any omissions if the RFP bidder was unable to provide all the documents or information required in the TOU qualification form. It also allows RFP bidders to upload optional documents such as proposed modifications to credit instruments. As Ben and I mentioned earlier in the presentation, previously qualified default service or TOU RFP bidders may participate in an abbreviated process. For these bidders, the qualification form is still due at 12 p.m. noon EPT on the bidder qualifications due date. However, the process is shorter and there's a lot of information that the bidder does not need to resubmit. For example, the expression of interest, the confidentiality agreement, the PJM and FERC qualifications do not need to be resubmitted. However, the bidder is required to provide the credit application and updated financial information. Thus, the bidder is required to resubmit Appendix 6 or refresh using Appendix 6B, and the bidder must resubmit the binding bid agreement. Additionally, the bidder can, on an optional basis, designate additional representatives. The bidder can also submit its proposed modifications to the Bid Assurance Letter of Credit and to the Performance Assurance Letter of Credit as well as the guarantee. One important aspect to point out is that Appendix 6B is a confirmation of credit and financial information, and it may only be used by RFP bidders that previously qualified in a default service or TOU solicitation under DSP-4. RFP bidders may submit Appendix 6B only if all previously submitted credit and financial information is current and does not require any updates, or the RFP bidder is only updating credit ratings, support documentation, and or financial statements, and all other previously submitted credit and financial information remains unchanged. While completing the qualification form, the RFP bidders can review their most recently submitted financial information and update it if necessary. Moving on to slide 29, I'll talk a little bit about the TOU qualification form review process. So the RFP manager reviews the submission only after the RFP bidder hits submit on the online qualification form. While the RFP manager reviews the submission, the RFP bidder's account will be locked. The RFP manager performs the initial evaluation generally on the same day or by the following business day and sends either a deficiency notice or a complete notice by email to the representatives of the RFP bidder. The RFP manager also evaluates additional materials as needed. If the RFP bidder receives a deficiency notice regarding its TOU qualification form, the RFP bidder's account will be unlocked, and the bidder can log into the qualification form in order to fix the deficiencies in the notice. If the TOU qualification form is complete and the RFP manager requires no additional information, the RFP bidder's account will remain locked. Bidders are encouraged to submit materials early to maximize time to resolve deficiencies provided and provide any necessary additional information. The deficiency notices sent by the RFP manager will specify the deadline for the RFP bidder to respond. In general, the RFP bidder must respond by 6 p.m. EPT on the second business day for the first deficiency notice, and then the RFP bidder must respond by the deadline specified in a subsequent deficiency notice if additional information is still required. If the RFP bidder fails to remedy deficiencies by the deadline specified in the deficiency notice, it will not qualify for the solicitation. So step number two in the process, which is outlined on slide 31, is to submit the bid assurance collateral and TOU SMA. The due date is 12 p.m. noon EPT on the bid assurance collateral and the SMA due date, which will be provided prior to each TOU RFP solicitation. The participant must fill out the TOU online form, including the SMA upload. In the online form, participants are asked to indicate whether they are providing cash or a letter of credit as a form of bid assurance collateral. Participants are also required to upload a completed TOU SMA. This means that the RFP bidder has to download the template from the website and complete it with all the required information. The TOU SMA must be signed by an officer, and then it must be uploaded in its complete form to the online qualification form. The RFP manager will provide additional instructions on the sections of the TOU SMA that should be filled out. As part of the bid assurance collateral and TOU SMA process, each participant is also required to send cash or a letter of credit. Wire transfer instructions are provided on the online form if you elect cash, and the letter of credit must be delivered to the following address: PPL Electric RFP Manager at 1835 Market Street, Suite 1205, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19103. Please keep in mind that both the online form and the bid assurance collateral must be received by the RFP manager by the bid assurance collateral and TOU SMA due date. On slide 32, we highlight a few reminders. First, the bid assurance collateral must be in the form of a letter of credit or cash, and the collateral amount is $75,000 per tranche. Given that there is only one tranche per product, the collateral amount would be $75,000 for the residential product and $75,000 for the small C&I product. Bidders that would like to bid for both customer groups require a bid assurance collateral of $150,000. As we mentioned earlier, if a bidder would like to submit its collateral in the form of cash, the wire transfer instructions are available in the TOU online form. For bidders that are interested in submitting the bid assurance collateral in the form of a letter of credit, the standard form of a letter of credit is available on the RFP website. Participants are allowed to either use the standard form of the letter of credit or use any of the acceptable modifications. And a final list of acceptable modifications will be posted no later than 5 business days before the bid proposal due date. We do recommend submitting the online form and bid assurance collateral early, as this provides more time to deal with any required corrections. One scanned signed copy of the entire TOU SMA must be received by upload to the RFP website, including the form notice, the form of notice filled in with the appropriate contact information. Participants that complete the bidder qualification and the bid assurance collateral and TOU SMA are then eligible to submit a bid, which is due on the bid proposal due date. The submission window for bids is between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. noon EPT on this date, and no late bids will be accepted. There will be one bid proposal spreadsheet for each product, so one spreadsheet for the residential product and another one for the small C&I product. All shaded cells on the spreadsheet must be completed. and the bid proposal spreadsheets must be submitted online by electronic file transfer to the PPL Electric Secure server. In order to submit a bidder requires a password, which will be provided with the notification of qualification. The RFP manager confirms receipt of the bid proposal spreadsheet by phone using the contact information in the bid proposal spreadsheet. In the phone call, the RFP bid manager will also provide the tag number to the bidder and ask the RFP bidder to read back the submitted bids. If the RFP bidder wishes to, it can withdraw its bid proposal as long as it is before the deadline for the bid submission by using the binding bid withdrawal agreement. So now I'll turn it over to Ben to go over an example of a bid proposal spreadsheet.
Thank you, Julie. This is very helpful. So over on to slide 35, we have an example of the bid proposal spreadsheet. So a couple of rules to follow. The first is that on the bid proposal spreadsheet itself, you'll find a couple of shaded cells. So if you see a shaded cell, basically it means that you have to fill in the shaded cell with some information. Usually it's a bidder information regarding who to contact to confirm receipt, and then there is bid information. So in this slide 35, it has one cell that is shaded a little darker, which is the discount below the generation portion of the PTC, and that simulates bid information that must be entered. So a few things regarding the bid proposal spreadsheet. The first is that there's going to be a couple of pieces of information provided to you prior to the bid date. The seasonal multiplier, this is going to be provided along with the generation portion of the price to compare on the PTC. A quick word there is that the generation portion of the PTC will be released no later than 30 days before the PTC that is calculated will go into effect. So for the delivery period starting December 1st, for example, the PTC will be released to bidders sometime around November 1st. And for the June 1st delivery start, we will release the PTC around May 1st, prior to the June 1st delivery start. So here, these are the two pieces of information that we provided to you, the generation portion of the price to compare, as well as the seasonal multiplier. And the way the bids will work is that we're asking for you to provide a percent discount below the generation portion of the price to compare in the form of a percent up to two decimal places. In this example, this information is provided by you and you're indicating a percent discount of 15.01% below the generation portion of the PTC. So in terms of what you will be paid based on your bid price if you should win, again, we have mentioned earlier, you'll be paid the off-peak price for off-peak hours in which you're supplying the TOU service. And you're going to be paid the on-peak price for supply during the on-peak hours. By indicating a bid information of 15.01% below the generation portion of the PTC, you are setting the off-peak price, which is calculated to be $43.34 per megawatt hour, which is just taking the $51 of the generation portion of the PTC times 1 minus the 15.01%, and that gets you to $43.34, which is a number that has been rounded down to the nearest cent. So this is the off-peak price in which you'll be providing supply during off-peak hours. In terms of the on-peak price, you just take the off-peak price that we have just calculated and multiply that by the seasonal factor of 162% or 1.62. That will get you $70.21 per megawatt hour. And this will be the on-peak price applicable for supply during the on-peak hours. So this is how the bids are constructed and the information that will be required of you and how your resulting settlement price will be calculated or determined. On slide 36, we asked the question, what happens if the bid assurance collateral is insufficient? And basically, bids will be removed if bid assurance collateral is insufficient. If, for example, you have sufficient collateral for one product but not both, then we will struct the bids from one of the customer groups for which you have provided bids for. And to do so, we will remove the bid from the customer group where there is most competition as measured by the number of bid proposals spreadsheet submitted for that customer group. And by submitting a bid proposal to us under this RFP, you're authorizing us to modify your bid proposal in this manner. So if you face any difficulties during the bid submission process, we ask that you call us immediately at this number that we have provided. We'll find you an alternate way to submit your bids. You will not be disqualified or disadvantaged for using such backup method, but we do require that whichever method that you use, the primary method or the backup in the case of an emergency, that you submit your bids by the deadline of noon on the bid proposal due date. Once we receive your bids and the bids of all bidders, we will then evaluate the bids. The evaluation of bids will occur for the residential customer group products and the small C&I customer group products separately. And the winning bid in each customer group is basically the bid with the greatest percentage discount below the generation portion of the PTC for that particular customer group. And if there are tight bids, they will simply be broken by random selection. And just a repeat of what I mentioned earlier, we need at least two bids to be received for a customer group in order to move forward. If there is less than two bids submitted for a customer group, then the results for that customer group will be deemed rejected by the PUC. In terms of the post-auction activities, once you receive your bids and evaluated the bids to determine the winning supplier, we will inform you of the results on a preliminary basis by close of business on the same day, the bid proposal due date. We will then proceed to prepare a report and provide to the PUC within one business day, the very next day, that will summarize the results on a confidential basis. At that point, the PUC will have one day to make its decision whether to accept or reject the results of the TUU RFP. If the results are accepted, then PPL will be informed and they will proceed to prepare an email to your to the winning supplier, a partially executed transaction confirm. This transaction confirmation must be fully executed thereafter and no later by the second business day after your receipt. And you are to sign it, scan it, and email it back to PPL Electric, again by 2 p.m. on the second business day after your receipt of the partially executed transaction confirm from PPL Electric. If you fail to provide your fully executed transaction confirm by the deadline, you may forfeit your bid assurance collateral. Otherwise, the bid assurance collateral will be returned back to you upon receipt of your fully executed transaction confirmation. In terms of the RFP website, we are on to slide 41. The address again is provided at the top of this slide, ppldsp.com. There are a couple of features of the procurement website, but key among them would be for you to register to be on the distribution list. This puts you on our mailing list for all RFPs related to PPL Electric, including the default service RFP as well as this TOU RFP and any other RFPs that PPL may want to provide through this RFP website. So we do ask that you register yourself to be put on our mailing list. You'll receive emails and updates as well as alerts on upcoming deadlines. You can do that by going to the Contact Us link on the left navigation bar and clicking on Register underneath that. The other thing to note for you is that we do have an FAQ process underway. There are a lot of questions that have been asked and have been posted online. We do ask that you review them. They will provide you relevant information that have been asked by other bidders. And if you do not find your answers or questions answered on that site or have new questions, we ask that you submit them to us. You can do so by going to the Ask a Question page on the website by clicking on Contact Us, and then you should see on the left navigation a sublink that says Ask a Question that will lead you to the page to fill out your question online and submit that to us. We ask for a two-day turnaround for all questions. We will provide you, the questioner, a written response, and then we'll redact any identifying information and convert that into a FAQ that we will post online. This will ensure that all bidders will have fair and equal access to information. All questions you ask that we provide an answer to will be provided as an FAQ online on the RFP website. So with that, we will conclude today's presentation. We hope that you have found this presentation to be helpful, and we look forward to your participation in the TOU RFP.